On the screen behind me is a prayer that some of you know really well. Some of you may never know it. It's what we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer. Thanks, guys. Thank you for leading us in worship. It's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, and some of you have been praying it, or at least have heard it since you were sick. So look at it just for a moment. But as with anything, let's make sure we know what we're saying when we pray it. Okay, ready to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let's do it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You've heard that many times. Some of you have. As we decided which version to put up there, I said, let's put the traditional one. That's the one. That was the one I'm really familiar with when I was a little kid. So we even threw in the word trespass, because that's what I knew. It's what we just sang. I am forgiven. What's a trespass? What's a debt? Some of you memorized, forgive us our debts. It's forgive us our sins. I just like the sound of trespass. It's what I've always prayed since I was a little boy. I went to parochial school when I was a kid. And I remember at one point, several of us rascals got together and we decided to have a race to see who could say the Lord's Prayer the fastest. I won. I think I did it under 5 seconds anyway. You know, the situation in which that prayer is originally said by Jesus was when the disciples came up to him one time and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And his response was that. He gave them that. He said, pray this. And so even as a model, he gave them that prayer to pray. Teach us to pray. And so I ask you, who taught you how to pray? Maybe your grandmother, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe AA. Who taught you how to pray? One of my earliest recollections of prayer, math teacher. And she taught us to pray. She would stop time an ambulance would go by the street underneath our school. She would stop and pray, Mother of Perpetual Help, pray for us every time. And she said, that's what you have to pray. You're praying for the help for the person going by in the ambulance. Now, the funny thing was, it was unique, I guess. A mile up the street, our middle school was right on a main street in Warren, Ohio. The main hospital was right here. And so we had ambulances going by all the time and throughout class. I think that's why I don't know algebra that well. We kept breaking for prayer. Who taught you how to pray? I'm convinced that human nature, regardless of culture, regardless of background, a common human phenomenon is prayer. The urge to pray, the need to pray. All societies, whether they're religious or not, all hearts, whether they're spiritual or secular, there is a bent toward needing to pray. Which I think is kind of funny when you hear about the debate about whether there should be prayer in public schools. As long as there are exams in public schools, there will be prayer. And the kids are praying indeed. We're in a series called Rhythms. Do you have that book? I handed it out to you last week. If you were here last week, I hope you brought it back. Looks like this. If you don't have it, or if you weren't here last week in the seat in front of you, this is yours. Put your name on it. We are going through this. We are going through, notice the subtitle is Your Guide to Spiritual Health. We are on an 8-week journey talking about spiritual maturity and the rhythms that it takes to get towards spiritual maturity, spiritual health. Think about physical health. You want to get physically healthy. And so you sign up at the gym and there are a number of things. Lift weights. You need to run the track. And these are the things that you need to do. They aren't equal to health, but they are part of the way that you get to health. That's the same thing here. We've been going with this analogy. The analogy of the sailboat that is taking us toward spiritual health. And what we're saying is this sailboat is the trek upon which God has us toward something. Now, I forgot to say it last service. I want you to notice there's somebody on that boat. If you can picture him there. Can you see it? All right. For those of you that can't, if you noticed all week long, we had the memes of Bernie Sanders sitting with his mittens. He's on our boat. Anyway, when I first saw it, I just thought it was so hysterical. I started sharing it with the whole staff, and he ended up on my boat. So the spiritual journey is from here, which is where we start, dead in our trespasses and sins, and we're headed somewhere, and this is what we've been saying. We are headed, those God foreknew, he is conforming to the image of his Son. The ultimate destiny of our lives as Christ followers, the epitome of spiritual health, it's the journey that we're on, is Christ-likeness. That's where you're headed, and that's where I'm headed. And so what we said last week, back to the sailboat, the things that make up the sailboat, the sail of the boat, part of them are these rhythms that we practice. The wind, who is the Holy Spirit, is blowing through our lives, and he's using a number of things, including fellowship, including all of the circumstances of your life, and including the disciplines, the exercises, the things in this book and more. He's using those to move us toward Christ-likeness. And so with that in mind, if you have your book, look at week two. That's where we're starting. We're starting with the area of prayer. This whole system, this whole topic of spiritual schools, it's taught at seminary. I used it by a man named Jeffrey Greenman. He was the editor of a book on spiritual formation. He was at the time a professor at Wheaton College. Best definition I've ever found of spiritual formation is Greenman's. Here's what he says. Spiritual formation, that's this formation, that's this progress from there to Christ-likeness. And it doesn't end until you do. Spiritual formation is our continuing response to the reality of God's grace. Our continuing response are some of the disciplines that are in this book. It's our cooperative effort. We do nothing to form Christ in us, but we can practice things that the Holy Spirit uses as a means for Christ to be formed in us. That's our continuing response. Spiritual formation is our continuing response to the reality of God's grace, shaping us into the likeness of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's his work. In the community of faith, where does it happen? It happens in here. In the community of faith. And why does it happen? Not just for my own spiritual benefit. Why does it happen? It happens for the sake of the world. All of us maturing in Christ, becoming more like Christ. Why? For the sake of the world. We began 2021 saying that we want to be a fellowship this year that seeks to bless the city, all of our surroundings. But in order to do that, we need to be people changed from the inside out, to be the kind of people that we want the city to be blessed with. And that's the spiritual formation process. Spiritual formation is the continuing response. And the one response we're going to look at today is the response of prayer. So put your seatbelts on. We're going to talk for a few minutes this morning about the rhythm of prayer. And each week we'll look at another rhythm. Jesus once said that people should always pray and not quit. Not give up. Jesus' half-brother, James, the Apostle Paul said, you should pray constantly, or in the old versions, pray without ceasing. And yet, how often do I give up and stop praying? And yet, how often do I not ask? And yet, I can honestly say I do not pray even frequently sometimes, let alone constantly. I am convinced that just as it is a common bent of humanity to need to pray, it's also a common weakness that we don't pray. At least we don't pray well. And I'm the chiefest of sinners. I've been a follower of Jesus Christ for 44 years. I've been a pastor for 36 years. Started pastoring when I was 9. Just have to say that every time so I don't expose my age. You see, I can honestly say in the 44 years of following Christ, my prayer life, C plus at times, stops and starts, and let me try, and I'll do it for a while, and then I get into my own life, and I know I'm not alone. We are not very good at praying, and I lead the way, and I want us to get better. Why don't we? Do we not know how? Have we not read enough books? Because it doesn't work? I don't think it's any of those. I think the reason we don't get in the rhythm of prayer is there is a diabolical strategy. I think Satan, the enemy of our souls, goes out of his way to plan to prevent us. You see, Satan doesn't care if you study your Bible. He really doesn't. He just doesn't want you to pray while you're doing it. Because if you don't pray and you just study your Bible, watch, you will become a prideful Bible know-it-all. Or a not very helpful Bible wonk with all the answers, right? A lot of knowledge, but not a lot of Christ-likeness. See, the goal of studying the scriptures is not information. The goal is transformation. And the only way these words can transform my heart and my mind is if they are married with prayer, is if they're bathed with prayer. I don't think Satan cares if you go out and you make your habit to go and help people all over. As long as you don't pray for them. As long as you don't pray for the work that you're doing. Because as we help people, watch, we help and we get tired and we get kind of grouchy or bitter or self-righteous or a martyr. Nobody's helping me. I don't even think the enemy minds if you bring up spiritual conversations, even conversations about Christ with people, as long as you don't pray for them. Because watch how those conversations will devolve into an argument of opinions or into a political fight or into a religious war. One of my old professors used to say, it's much better to talk to God about people than it is to talk to people about God. Prayer is the essence of our spiritual formation, and the enemy will do anything to keep us from doing it. Here's my thesis for the morning of Christ-likeness. I know there's not anything room in your notes to take sermon notes. There's just a wee bit. If you write anything in that section, write that. That's my thesis. Prayer is the essence of spiritual formation, meaning you can do all the other things that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come, Bible study, fasting, solitude, serving, confession, all of the other things, and all of the other disciplines I don't even mention. You can do all of those, but if they are not founded in prayer, then we're all just becoming a bunch of religious wonks with absolutely no opportunity to change. It's got to be bathed in prayer. Prayer is the essence of spiritual formation, as it is the epitome of Christ-likeness, which is why the enemy is forever trying to stop you and me from praying. It is the epitome of Christ-likeness. If you want to be Christ-like, you've got to start with prayer. Sometime in 2021, here's a assignment for you. Do a Bible study on the life of Christ in the four Gospels and watch his prayer life. Christ prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. His life was shaped by prayer. Every aspect of it. And so at the beginning of his ministry, he is taken out into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation. Satan comes and tempts him. And what does he do as he goes there? He prays. And then he's literally about to begin his ministry. He's being baptized by John the Baptist. And at his baptism, he is praying. Whenever you're about to start something, when you're about to start something significant, a new job, a new relationship, whenever you're beginning something, if you want to be Christ-like, make sure you bathe the beginning in prayer. He had a huge decision to make. I think that one of the most important of his ministry, and that was to choose the 12 men that would be his apostles. It was so big because these were the 12 men he was about to pour his life into for the next 3 years or so, and these also were the ones that were going to carry on his movement after he was gone. This was a huge decision, the selecting of his staff, so to speak. And so the night before he was choosing the 12, he spent all night in prayer before he chose them. You have any big decisions you're about to make? Don't ever go into a decision as a follower of Jesus Christ without bathing it in prayer. If you want to be Christ-like in your decision-making, make sure that prayer is the foundation and the beginning of the way you make decisions. Oftentimes throughout Jesus' ministry, he was sort of, for lack of a better word, harried by the crowds. There's crowds around him all the time. And on the one hand, you say, well, that's why he came. He was so magnetic. People were always drawn to him, always drawn to him. And yet 12 times we read in the Gospels, 12 times as he's being harried by crowds, we read, and Jesus withdrew from the crowd to a solitary place that he may pray. Oh, but his ministry and life is all about people. Yeah. But sometimes he had to get away. You know, the secret to his public life was his private life. And if you are a leader, if you're a school teacher, if you are a boss, if you are a parent, as you lead people publicly, the secret of your public life had better be your private life. That your leadership qualities, that lead others. And as your prayer life, as your private life is a prayer life, you will never be more Christ-like than when you are praying. And I can't think anything better for your public life to be as Christ-like as you possibly can. Hours before Jesus was arrested and then eventually taken to the brutal cross, Jesus was in a garden and in agony, he was praying. In many ways, the most painful event of his life, literally, was first bathed in prayer. Should be true of us as well. And then I like the story. Several days after Jesus rose from the dead, he's walking along a road just a couple of miles outside Jerusalem, and he encounters two people. And these two people were Christ followers from a distance, I think. And they were on the road to Emmaus, and they are talking about the things that were happening over the weekend. And Jesus joins them in the walk, and they have no idea who Jesus is. And so they're talking, and Jesus says, what are you talking about? And they said, we can't believe you don't know about these events, that this hero among us, they were describing Christ, was unjustly arrested, and he was crucified, and he was our hope, and our hope is gone. And they're just telling them. And so as they continue walking, Jesus then actually explained to them the Old Testament scriptures that if he was certainly the Messiah, this was supposed to happen, but they have no clue who's talking to them. And then they invite Jesus into their home for a meal. And so Jesus accepts, and they're around the meal. And as they're at the meal, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And now they weren't at the Last Supper, so this is new to them. And then it says, and he prayed, he blessed it, and their eyes were open. Jesus was most recognizable when he prayed. And here's a cool statement. The writer of Hebrews talks about Jesus in his ascension now. So as Jesus ascended and is in heaven now, the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus always lives to intercede for them, for us. Jesus lives even today. Jesus is praying for you right now. Prayer is the essence of spiritual formation, and it is the epitome of Christ-likeness. And so in the face of diabolical opposition, we seek to become like Christ as we seek to pray like Christ. And Christ taught us a pattern on how to pray. And it's the pattern I want us to use, even throughout this series, but maybe throughout our year. The pattern is the Lord's Prayer. There's a rhythm that you need to have when you pray. We'll talk a little bit about that. It has to fit you. Maybe in the morning you pray. My wife prays in the shower. You should see my hot water bills. They're just crazy. You need to develop a rhythm according to your personality, according to your schedule, according to what works. But you have to develop that rhythm. And in developing the rhythm, it's important to have a good pattern. And in many ways, the pattern, the Lord's Prayer, is a really good pattern. One of the fellows that taught me how to pray, I was just a young pastor, and we did a retreat on spiritual things. And his name was Dave, and Dave was the head of Navigators at Kent State. And I brought him in. Dave was sort of a dry speaker, but boy, did he love Christ and did he know how to pray. And he taught us all there the ACTS method. You know that? And he basically takes the Lord's Prayer and he splits it up and says, this is how you ought to pray. A is adoration. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, God. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There should always be a part of the prayer where we're confessing our sins to the Lord. T is thanksgiving. There should be a part of every prayer where you are just thankful. Or I remember a Sister Mary Martha taught us not just to pray for those going by on the ambulance. She would say, if you have nothing to pray about, just say thank you. And I've thought about that. There is so much that I can be thankful for, and so much that just goes right over my head. T is thanksgiving. And then S, what Dave taught us, the Navigator, S is supplication, our daily bread. Supplication is too hard a word, so I've always replaced it with just the word stuff. That's where we pray for our stuff. And that is a good pattern of prayer. And so in taking the Lord's Prayer and taking Jesus as the model, I just want to look at how he prayed in the few minutes we have left to be as our rhythm, our example as how we pray. It begins with our Father in heaven. The enemy would like nothing more than for you to think that God is entirely unapproachable. And that prayer is just some sort of rote ritual system. And Jesus, the master prayer, says, no, I want you to know that God is very approachable. And as a matter of fact, when you start to pray, begin just by saying, our Father. And in Christ, God is our Father. This prayer is very then relational. It is relational. We have access. We have the ear of the God of the universe who is our Father. We are his kids and we have access. You know, as I think about that and hearing David this morning pray for our new president, I can think of different pictures that I've seen and his two daughters, I think Jenna and Barbara, and in the world, watch the closeness of these little children with the most powerful man in the world. But because they have a relationship, they have access to him. I remember seeing a picture of President Obama, and I think his two daughters are Malia and Sasha, and they are there in the lawn of the White House, and it's snow, and they're firing snowballs at their dad. I mean, who does that? To the president, the people who have access, who are his kids. And I remember, I'm dating myself a little bit, there was this famous Life magazine picture of President Kennedy at his desk in the Oval Office. And in the hollow of the front of his desk is his little son, John Jr., just sitting there looking totally content and totally welcome there. That's the picture of our Father. It's relational. God isn't just this supreme being of whom we have no access at all. In Christ, He is our Father. It is relational. Our Father who art in heaven. And because it's relational now, it's very conversational. So use the Lord's Prayer perhaps as a model, but turn it into a conversation. So that when you're praying for our daily bread, start listing some of the things that you need, more than just a loaf of bread. There are other things that you, and since it's our daily bread, that you and others need as well. Turn it as a conversation, because that's what prayer is. It's okay to pray the Lord's Prayer or any of the other memorized or ritual prayers, as long as you do it from your heart. It's got to be a conversation. And sometimes we forget that. When Sue and I first started a church back in the 1990s in Kent, Ohio, Sue's father, who passed away around Christmas time, doing the fatherly thing, he was not a churched man, but he felt like he needed to come to his daughter and son-in-law's church that they were starting. And it wasn't too long that the Spirit of God got a hold of that unchurched man's life, and he put his faith in Christ. It was a beautiful thing to see. It was in the summertime, and we were studying the book of Romans, and Jim was his name. Sue's dad comes to his first Bible study ever, and there we are in the book of Romans, and we're studying all the deep stuff of Romans. And as we're done studying, it's time to pray. And okay, let's, and I just want to do conversational prayer around the table, and there's probably 12 of us there. And so we break into prayer. And now, partly because of the content of the study, man, our prayers are all over the galaxy. You know, we're thanking God for His substitutionary atonement. And we thank You that we have access to the Holy of Holies. And man, we're all over the place. And Lon, my assistant pastor, who always had a heart in missions, now he's praying for our friends that are in Mexico and others that are in Mozambique. And we're praying all over the world, man. We're just all over the map here in this huge prayer. And then all of a sudden, there's this moment of quiet. And Sue's dad speaks up. And he says, "Dear God, this is Jim. I met you last week. I just wanted to thank you for my salvation and thank you for Jesus. Amen." That's a prayer. That's the conversation of prayer. Prayer is relational. Our Father, it's conversational. Tell your Father anything you want. And because it's relational, it's not transactional. And at times we tend to think it is, that it's transactional. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people pray things like, "Lord, if you just give me this job, I promise that I will tithe my first paycheck and everyone forward." This isn't a bargaining table. This is a prayer time. Or people say, "Lord, if you would just heal my wife, I promise that I will serve in the church." That's a transaction. Prayer and relationships are not transactional. They're all winner. So I went and got the key. Click. Ah, this thing doesn't work. You see me use this thing every now and then. This is the clicker. See, I do that. Let me get to the next slide. Do that. It works. I have a great relationship with this thing when it works. When it doesn't work, now I don't want you to see me lose my sanctification, but when it doesn't work up here, I want to fire it against that wall, but I never do. That's not relationships. It's not about working. You know, it would be like if I went up to Sue and say, "You know, I know our lives are really upside down right now. They're really topsy-turvy. And I know you're spending so much time with your mom and your sisters. And I know you're still doing ministry. But man, I would really love it if you prepared for me the greatest meal ever. I mean, let it start with lasagna and then maybe a filet mignon. And wouldn't that be awesome?" And she doesn't do it for me. As a matter of fact, she's not even with me that night. She's with her mom, and I end up having to eat Raisin Bran. Does Sue not work? Does this relationship not work? Now, you might be thinking, Paul, your brain doesn't work. But relationships are not about working. They're not transactional. They're communicational. And so when I go to my father and I say, Lord, I'm here. Here are my needs. He doesn't necessarily give me everything I ask for. Most of you are parents. If you gave everything your kids asked of you, you'd be turning them into spoiled brats. God doesn't want spoiled brats. And as a matter of fact, like you as a parent, you're able to see much more than they see, and you're able to know much more than they know. And so it's about the relationship. It's not about checking off their Santa's wish list. Never is. When we develop the rhythm of prayer, we develop a deeper relationship with our Father because we develop the communication. It is communicated through the spoken word. The Lord in prayer. True in your marriage too, by the way. So we come to the Lord in prayer and we simply address him in a relational way as our Father in heaven. So what do we pray about? Well, what did Jesus pray about? Certainly we can pray for our daily bread. Absolutely. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Certainly we can pray for the forgiveness of sins. But notice how Jesus prays the prayer or starts it. And I think this is the best place to start. Jesus says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the enemy would also love us to believe that we are self-sufficient and that we're all-knowing. And that we are self-determinative. In other words, I'm self-sufficient. I know what I want to do. My will is going to get done. And so in some ways, I would never say it, but oftentimes my prayer is, Lord, my will be done in heaven as I do it on earth. And the Lord wants us to flip that. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And Jesus, in that agonizing prayer in the garden, right before he was to face his crucifixion, he first tries to step out of it a tiny bit when he says, in the honesty of his prayer, he says, Lord, take this cup from me. Meaning he saw what was coming. He didn't want to experience it. And then he catches himself short and he says, but not my will, but your will be done. Many ways, that is the foundation of spiritual formation. Because it's all about surrender. It's all about realizing my Father knows what's best and my Father is good and is going to determine what's best. All along this sailing to Christ-likeness, it's got to be a life of surrender. And so when I say thy will be done, it is my way of knowing the Father so well and trusting his hand so well that I can resign and just say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, take your, that's a funny ring, isn't it? Take your guide for a minute. We've been in week two, and we're praying that God's will would be done. And at times when you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it would be safe to say, Lord, I don't know your will. Teach me your will and give me the power to accomplish it. But there are some things that we do know that are his will. And one of them is, it's this whole stream of spiritual formation. It is his will that we become more like Christ throughout this journey until Christ is formed in us. And so part of what I want to call us to during this series and throughout this year is for a prayer of Christ-likeness. So if you're on page two, go to the next page that looks like this. I introduced this last week. My 2021 prayer. And I came up with 21 prayer requests that all have to do with Christ-likeness. I'll give you an example. The first one is mine for 2021. You can ask me about it. 2020 was such a difficult year, such a drag of a year, not just COVID, but politics and social media, that I realized I was becoming a real grouch. And so my prayer for 2021, return to me the joy of my salvation. That's my prayer. All year long, that's what I'm going to pray. So here's your assignment. Between now and next week, maybe you've already done it if you were here last week. Look at this page. Read it over carefully. I even have three steps. Believe that God's goal for you is Christ-likeness. You got to believe that. He's taking you on this journey. Secondly, take some time and reflect on your life and on the type of Christ-like person that you want to be. And choose to pray about an area that your life presently falls short of Christ-likeness. That's why it takes reflection. And if you can't identify one, ask your spouse. Once you've identified that, now go to the 21 on prayer. And we talked about rhythms. Here would be my suggestion. Start every morning, first thing in the morning. It's going to take you 30 seconds. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. It's the way I'll start my day. And as I start my day, not only is the Spirit of God hearing my prayer, it's in my head too. And so the choices that I make throughout the day, I bet are going to be a lot more consistent with that request than if I hadn't. So I'm going to choose not to do things when I realize that's going to steal my joy. Or I am going to choose to do things that I realize Christ wants me to do and will add to my joy. I'll start my day. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I will end my day. Same way. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And all 2021 long, I'm praying that prayer. And then I would suggest somewhere in your day, again, you know the rhythm of your life. It's got to fit with your rhythm. You've got, and the only way you do things well is if you establish a rhythm for them, right? I work out at the Mandel Jewish Center in Beechwood. And I know that every Thursday after work, every Friday morning, every Saturday morning, and every Monday after work, I'm there working out. If that wasn't on my calendar, if that wasn't in my rhythm, I'd never work out, but I do it. Same way with this. So you know the rhythm of your life. Pick a time. Maybe it's noon. Maybe it's a lunch hour. I don't know. Maybe it's in the morning or in the end of the day. And I want you to start with the Lord's Prayer. Just use the Lord's Prayer as your model prayer and just pray that. But then as time goes on, like a jazz musician, go off of that. You're still in the key of G, but now go off of that. So when you're saying, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me, now you're off of that and you're starting to name those trespasses. Lord, I'm really sorry I did that. You're not just saying, as I forgive those who trespass against me. Now you're remembering that, man, you've held a grudge against Joe for 6 months. You need to go back and do it. And so you're allowing that prayer to be your model. And then little by little, like the jazz musician, you are coming off of that and you are sort of just playing with that prayer as your prayer now. Sound good? Say yes if it's yes. Okay. I can even hear you with your masks on. And then one other thing that I want you to do as your assignment, and I'm done. Everyone, I've got a start here and a continue on. The start here, we all have to do it. Every one of us, if we're at Trinity, we've got a 2021 prayer. What's yours? I'll ask you that when I see you, maybe. The continue on is, I don't want to say it's extra credit because if you want an A in the course, you do the continue on. If you're satisfied with the C, just do the first one. Here's the continue on. It's a little bit of a challenge, but I love this idea. I want you to pray for others. The Lord's Prayer is all plural. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. It's all plural. Pray for others. I want you to contact someone this week and ask them how you can pray for them. Each day this week, maybe it's somebody at work on Monday. Hey, how can I pray for you? They don't even know you're a Christ follower. That's all. How can I pray for you? Tuesday is somebody else. Wednesday is somebody else. And then pray for them. And then afterwards, when enough time goes by, go back, circle back around. Hey, how's it going? How is your dad? How is your wayward son? Whatever the request is, every day this week, contact somebody. Simple as can be. How can I pray for you? Say yes if it's yes. Good. Okay, so there we go. The first rhythm is the rhythm of prayer, and it is the foundational rhythm because prayer is the essence of this because it is the epitome of Christ-likeness. So I leave you just with this. Write this in your journal. That's all I want you to know. Start praying. It's either just an SOS when we're in trouble and it's not really a rhythm. I pray that you would help us develop that rhythm. Even with the simple 2021 prayer, help us develop just a wee rhythm, maybe at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, and may that rhythm develop into something grander. Father, we realize that your Son prayed to you on a regular basis, and it is your Son whose character we are being conformed to. And so in like fashion, we want to be people of prayer. Give us the will, give us the desire, give us the unction to pray this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.